Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you have mercy on each and every one of us as we seek your face and seek to know you more and seek your will. And I pray that you open our heart and pour your spirit, the spirit of truth, and the precious word of our Lord Jesus Christ unto our heart. Impress upon our heart so that we remember what you have said to us through the book of 1 Timothy. And I pray that you be with us and speak to each and every one of us so that we have a better understanding of who you are and we learn to walk in your way so that we will see your face, the glorious face of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we see you as if we have seen our Heavenly Father. And I pray that you be with us. And I pray that you bless each and every one of us. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn back to the last week. We finished the 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse, I believe, is verse 10, right?
First.
Verse 10, right? So, go back to verse 9 and 10. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive. I want you to circle the word labor and strive. For this we labor and strive, and that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. And let me explain this word to you once more time. Go back to verse 10, say, for this we labor, for this we strive. For what? For training yourself to be godly. The latter part of verse 7. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So for this we labor and strive. That means we labor and strive for what? For godliness. I want you to write it down right beside labor and strive. You write it down. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. If you want to train yourself to be godly right now, that means we labor for godliness, we strive for godliness. If you do your very best and exercise in it, train yourself to be godliness. It takes time, takes effort. If you do it, you will be able to enter through the narrow door. 24. I want you to write beside, write 24. You write down 16:16. That is Luke 16:16. Dr. Luke said, the prophet, the law and the prophet were prophesying until John. Since that time, The good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. Forcing his way into it, that means we labor for it and we strive for it. We train ourselves to be godly, just like the muscle man go to the gymnasium and lift weight and exercise his muscle. He labor and strive for physical training, but we strive and labor for spiritual training, for godliness. If we do our training right now, I can guarantee you, you'll be able to enter through the narrow door. Jesus said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many will try to enter and will not be able to. Who said that? Jesus tell you. You better believe in it. So if you make every effort, strive for it, labor for it, you guarantee you enter heaven. Just like when you go to school, you work hard, for sure you pass. You not only pass, you graduate with high distinction, and you get medal. Oh, you just wishy-washy. Oh, man. Then I don't know whether you can graduate. You understand? 16:16. The good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. Now that you hear, not just believe in Jesus Christ, if you truly believe, you better serve God. Labor and strive for what? Godliness. Train yourself to be godly. You understand? So you need to write down, right beside 13:24, what do you write down? You write down 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6 all the way to 10. Okay? Right beside 16:16, you did the same thing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 6 to 10. Right beside 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 10, what do you write down? Right beside we labor and we strive, you write down Luke 13:24, 16:16. I want to stop here, explain more about these Bible verses. It's very, very important. A lot of people, they just read through it, they thought they understood, but they don't understand. Let me explain to you. Verse 10. Go back to verse 9. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. What is a trustworthy saying? Train yourself to be godly right now. You will hold promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying. Paul encouraged Timothy. Now, in those days, now I encourage you. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness right now has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is the trustworthy saying. And that deserves full acceptance. And for this, for what? For training yourself to be godly right now, for this we labor. We labor, we work hard on it. We strive for it. That we have put our hope in the living God. You know what? If you labor and strive for godliness and train yourself to be godliness, then you have hope. Or else you have no hope. You work hard right now, in the exam time, you have hope. You know you're going to pass it. You know you're going to pass it with distinction. You understand? You work hard, you labor for it, you strive for it. In the judgment time, you have hope. You understand? And then, that's what the Bible says, that we have put our hope in the living God. Who is the living God? The living God is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Believe in what? Believe in that trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And how come Paul saying that God is not only the Savior of all men, God especially is the Savior of those who believe? In other words, if you believe in this saying that you want to train yourself to be godly, throughout the process, you will stumble. Throughout the process, you will fall. You want to labor and strive for godliness, sometimes you don't live a godly life. You stumble. You fall. Then when you stumble, when you fall, then what do? You ask God to forgive you. Stand up again. Do it. Keep on exercising. Until what? Until you make it. So that's why Paul saying that God is not only the Savior of all men, God is also Savior of those who believe. Believe in what? Believe in this trustworthy saying. You know what? If you don't labor and strive for it, you don't live a godly life, you stumble every day already. You understand what I'm trying to say? You fall every day, every moment of your life. But if you try to do your very best to live a godly life, to serve God, once in a while you may stumble. But when you stumble, when you fall, you stand up. When you crawl like a baby, you never fall. You want to stand up like an adult? You don't need your daddy, mommy to hold your hand? One of these days when you run too fast, what happened? You fall. What happened when you fall? You just cry like a baby on the floor, or you just brush it off, stand up, and do it again?
Cry like a baby.
Cry like a baby? Daniel, are you crying like a baby? Come on. Are you a baby? Who are you?
No, well, I just laid on the ground floor and took a break.
Okay. Okay, keep going. Now, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay? So don't just, I know there are a lot of Christians, they quoted chapter 4, verse 10. Oh, God is the Savior of all men and especially of those who believe. And you do not understand why. You write right beside that one. You write down 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Then you understand. 2 Corinthians
chapter 1,
verse 10. God has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us, and on Him we have put our hope that He will continue to deliver us. He keep on delivers. He delivers us in the past, He delivers us in the present, He will continue to deliver us in the future. Okay? So you write 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. So that's why God is not only the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. When you believe in Him, He deliver you in the past, He deliver you right now, He will continue to deliver you in the future. You understand? Okay, go. Verse 11. Command and teach these things. Command and teach these things. Teach what? Train yourself to be godly. When you stumble, get up. Don't cry like a baby. And do it again. You fall, get up. And do it again. I want you to turn to Revelation, the last book of New Testament, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the thing you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. When you fall, you just remember from the height from which you have fallen. And then you turn around and repent. Repent and do the thing you did at first. If you do not repent, if you do not do the thing you did at first, I will come to you, Jesus said, and remove your lampstand from its place. Make every effort to enter into the narrow gate. A lot of people, many, want to enter, but cannot, because they don't exercise. They don't make every effort to enter into it. They don't labor and strive for it. The trustworthy saying, train yourself to be godly. You understand? Well, each and every one of us has to do it. That's what Paul say. That's what I understand. Verse 11, command this thing and teach this thing. And that is what I'm trying to do to you. I command this thing and teach this thing. Verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Take a look. Set an example for the believer to follow. In what area? In the area of speech, you don't tell dirty jokes. In the area of life, in the area of love, in the area of faith, in the area of purity. Is that what Paul trying to say? Train yourself to be godly? Is it? In speech and in action, to be godly, right? So, in verse 12, Paul talk about the same thing. So don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. You know, when you go to a gym and everybody is tall, dark, you know, and macho, and Daniel shot small and get in there and then say, "Oh, Daniel, what are you doing here?" I said, "I try to lift weight, you know." You know? No, I'm not saying that you should lift weight now, you know, at your age, you shouldn't, because otherwise you won't grow taller, you know. You will remain to be choppy and short, you know. When you're full grown, then you do exercise. You understand what I'm trying to say? So, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believer to follow. Train yourself to be godly. In what area? In speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Verse 13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching. I want you to write it down right beside 4:13. You write chapter 2, verse 1. There's two things Paul tell Timothy. You have to do it. First thing, chapter 2, verse 1, I urge them, first of all, that request, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. As a pastor, you should pray. Pray for everyone. Secondly, as a pastor, 4:13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture. Devote yourself to preaching and to teaching. Two things the pastor should do. Prayer and the ministry of the word. I want you to write down Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Act chapter 6, verse 4. What the 12 apostles had said. And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word include public reading of scripture, preaching, and teaching. That's the ministry of the word. I want you to write it down. Chapter 4, verse 6. Ministry of the word. You write down. 1 Timothy 2, 1, and 4, 13. Okay? Chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. I read that so that you know why I'm saying what I'm saying. In those days when the number of disciples were increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distributions of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on table. Brother, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility, the responsibility of the distribution, daily distribution of food, not only to the Hebraic Jews widow and also Grecian Jews." Okay? "And then we will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The 12 apostles devoted themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, in Paul's writing, what's the ministry of the word mean? Public reading of scripture is very important. In Christian church, every church, at that time before the pastor preached, someone will stand there to read the scripture. That is pure spiritual milk. You don't need to explain it. Just let Christian hear what God say through the public reading of the scripture. You understand? Preaching. Not only Paul asked Timothy not only devote himself to the public reading of scripture, and also asked him to devote himself to preaching and then to teaching. Preaching is preaching to your heart. Teaching is teaching to your mind. What is in your heart and what is in your mind got to be consistent. You understand? Then you'll be able to do it. If you don't think in your heart that you're going to do it, you won't train yourself to be godly. You understand? If you don't think in your mind that I should do it, you won't do it. When you read the scripture, you say to yourself, "I'm convinced. Not only in my heart, but also in my mind, I'm going to do it." Then you will put it into practice. And how do I know? This is not man teaching, man instruction. Through public reading of the scripture. They say, "Wow, this is what God say." Right? And then he explained it. So that you understand in your heart. And you understand in your mind. Through what? Through preaching and teaching. Preaching to your heart, teaching to your mind. You understand? We need both. Does it make sense? That's the ministry of the word. So whenever someone tell you to read the scripture, you better go home and read it a few times. You read it with passion. You read it with understanding. You know what you're reading. You understand? Oh, and then you mispronounce this word, mispronounce the another word. You don't understand this word, you don't understand, that's not too good. When people listen to you and look at you and hear what you have to say, they understood. And that would be good. And Paul saying to Timothy, until I come, devote yourself, first of all, to what? For one, intercession, request be made, intercession be made, prayer be made, thanksgiving be made for everyone. Devote yourself to prayer. And then to the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word is the public reading of scripture, preaching and teaching. Verse 14. Do not neglect your gift. Your gift is the spiritual gifts, which was given you through a prophetic message. When the body of elders laid their hands on you. I believe when Timothy was called by God to be a pastor in the church of Ephesus, a body of elders surround around him and lay hand on him and pray for him to give him the spiritual gifts so that he can be a pastor in the church. You understand? And when the leader of the church lay hand on you, just like in those days, do you remember before Moses passed away in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, before Moses passed away, what did the Lord say? Lay hand on Joshua. Give him some spiritual power so that he be able to be a capable leader. Okay? Turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 9. Now Joshua son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses has laid his hand on him. So the Israelites listened to Joshua and did what the Lord has commanded Moses. When Moses as leader, before he passed away, he lay hand on the young man Joshua. And the young man Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom. In the same way, when the elder gather around, when the elder gather around Timothy and lay their hand on Timothy, and Timothy received the spirit of wisdom too, so that he can be a pastor. I want you to write down 34:9 and write down Numbers 27:23. Numbers right before Deuteronomy. 27:23. Then Moses laid his hand on Joshua and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. Verse 22, Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar and the priests. Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Moses took Joshua and had Joshua stand before Eleazar the priest and stand before the whole assembly. Then Moses laid his hand on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed Moses. You got that? So, in the same way, verse 14, chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, Paul saying to Timothy, do not neglect your gifts. What kind of gift? The spirit of wisdom. Okay? Your gift. Do not neglect your gift. You write down Deuteronomy 34:9, number 27:23. Also write down 2 Timothy 1:6-7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. When Paul, together with all the other elders, lay their hand on Timothy, that young man, God then gave the gifts. God then gave Timothy a spirit of power, spirit of love, and spirit of self-discipline, so that he can be a good leader. Just like Moses gave gifts of spirit of power to Joshua. So I want you to write it down. 2 Timothy 1:6-7. You got that? So do not neglect your gift. What kind of gift? Daniel, I said. What kind of gift Moses gave to Joshua? Or God gave to Joshua through Moses?
Spiritual.
Spiritual. What's the name of that spiritual gift?
To preach.
No. 34:9 Deuteronomy, you read that.
Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded.
So what kind of gift that God gave through Moses, laying hand on Joshua?
Spirit of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of gifts God gives to Timothy through elders and Paul? What kind of gifts? 2 Timothy 1:7.
Spirit of power, love, and self-discipline.
Not a spirit of timidity. Right? As a pastor, if you do not have the gifts of the spirit of power, you will not have the courage to preach the word of God. Because you scare this man, you scare the other man, you scare this elder, you scare the other elder. God give you the spirit of what? Power. And spirit of love. and spirit of self-discipline, not a spirit of timidity. Paul saying that do not neglect your gifts. Your gifts are what? Spirit of power, spirit of love, and spirit of self-discipline. You got that? Do not neglect that. Which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hand on you. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God. Fan into flame. You know what? When God gives you the gifts of God through the elder or through the pastor laying hand on you, you do not fan the flame, fan into flame the gifts of God, that kind of gift will die down. And you will lose it. You got to exercise it. Fan into flame. Make it burning. You understand? You keep burning it. Wow. You keep using it. Oh, I tell you. It will be very good. Okay? So, that's why Paul saying that we labor and strive for it. Okay? Paul is a very good preacher, right? He's a good teacher too. Okay? Verse 14. Do not neglect your gift which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Verse 15. Be diligent. Be diligent in these matters. Be diligent in this matter and give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Be diligent in this matter. In what matter? To fan into flame whatever the gifts that you have received, and give yourself wholly to them. Train yourself to be godly. So what he's trying to say is, inwardly, you train yourself to be godly. Outwardly, you serve God with whatever the gifts God gave it to you, through the laying on of hand by the pastor. You need spiritual gifts to serve God. And you also to live a godly life in order to serve God effectively. Let people see that, oh, you progress. You progress. Your life's changed. You changed already. Don't let people look down upon you because you are young. Okay, be diligent in this matter. Make every effort to improve yourself, both inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly, train yourself to be godly. Outwardly, to serve God with the spiritual gift, to fan into flame whatever gifts you receive. Give yourself wholly to them. Wholly to them mean inwardly and outwardly. You got to make every effort to that. Okay? Verse 7 all the way. Verse 7 all the way to verse 12. That is inwardly. Verse 13. Like public reading of scripture, preaching and teaching, use the spiritual gifts that you have, and that's outwardly. Be diligent in this matter. Okay? Godliness and to fan into flame the spiritual gifts. So give yourself wholly to them. Spend time on these two areas of your life. Don't spend time to something else. Okay? Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. They see that, wow, Daniel has changed. Both inwardly and outwardly. Or outwardly, now his speech is eloquent. He teach really well. Like Paul now. You understand? The more you preach, the better you are. Okay? Verse 16. Watch your life. Your life is the first part. Verse 7. Train yourself to be godly. That is watched. That's how you watch your life. And watch your doctrine closely. Your doctrine is the outwardly, public reading of scripture, to preaching, to teaching. These two areas, you should be diligent in these two areas, in this matter. Watch yourself, that's the inward godly life, outwardly, how you teach, what you teach. Okay? Watch your doctrine closely. Don't just do it in one day and then you give up. Persevere in them. Persevere in godliness. Persevere in the public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Because when Paul lay hand on him, God gave him the power through the laying hand of the elder and Paul. Okay? So persevere in them. Hey, Daniel, don't be a loser, okay? You know what a loser is like? Oh, it's difficult. I give up. That is a loser. You don't give up. If it's no good, you keep practicing it until it's good. Okay? Let people see that you... Let everyone may see your progress. You understand? So watch your life and doctrine closely. First of all, your life, then your doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Don't give up. Because if you persevere in them, he didn't say persevere in just godliness. He said persevere also in public reading of scripture, preaching and teaching. Persevere in whatever the gifts that God gave it to you. You understand? Persevere in them. Do not give up. Because if you do, if you persevere in both areas of your life, inwardly and outwardly, you will save both yourself and your hearer. I want to stop here. I want you to write down Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. There are some pastor, there are some teacher, there are some preacher. He just know how to teach others, but he himself do not watch his own life. Do not train himself to be godliness. And Jesus saying to him, I don't know you. I don't know you. That's why Paul saying that. Watch your life. Make sure your life be changed by the word that you preach. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in both of them. If you do it, keep on doing it, then you will save both yourself and your hearers. Otherwise, someone who hear you, they will be saved because they do it. And you preach, you teach, and you never do it, you will not be saved. Edda, can you read that 7:21 to 23, book of Gospel of Matthew. 7, 21 to 23.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
What's the will of the Father? Make every effort to train yourself to be godly. We labor for it, we strive for it. That's the will of God. Okay? What?
I want to turn to a page.
Okay. So, Matthew 7, 21.
Okay, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
You know what? Verse 22 to 23 is the one who exercised the spiritual gift that he has. Either in prophesying, either in driving out demons, either in perform many miracles. That's the gift that they receive from God, right? They exercise the spiritual gift. They improve outwardly. But whereas their inward life, they don't train themselves to be godly. They commit adultery. They do bad things. They don't persevere in both of them, outwardly and inwardly. So what happened? Jesus said to them, I don't know you. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Why would he call him evildoer? Because he didn't let people see their progress. Right? There's no progress. Their life don't change. That's why Paul say, watch yourself and your doctrine closely. It's not good enough just to preach the very word of God. Preaching the very word of God is the beginning, is a kindergarten. Put into practice is a lifelong process. We got to labor and strive for it until we see Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul say, we fought the good fight. We run the race. We kept the faith. You understand? And I believe in God in those days, and now I still believe in it. Right? Persevere in them. Don't just do it once and then give up. If you give up, you lose your faith. Do you remember last week I talked about in chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit clearly said that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirit and things taught by demons. You remember that? Some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirit and things taught by demon. What should we do? We should never abandon our faith. We should never follow deceiving spirit. We should only follow the Holy Spirit and follow the things taught by God, right? Taught by the Bible. Okay? So, I finish chapter 4. So let me summarize what have we learned. The Spirit clearly said in the latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirit and things taught by demons. Not only pastor will abandon their faith, the follower will abandon their faith too. Not only pastor will follow deceiving spirit, the follower will also follow deceiving spirit. Not only pastor will follow things taught by demon, their follower will do the same thing too. So that's why Paul saying to Timothy, be diligent in this matter, in the area of inward exercise. Train yourself to be godly, outwardly use whatever gift that you have. Devote yourself to public reading. Devote yourself to preaching and teaching. Know more about the Word of God and then put it into practice. You got that? It's a tough work, man. We have to labor for it, strive for it. When you fall, when you stumble, what happened? You get up. Remember where you have fallen and stand up. Do it again. Okay? Don't give up. And watch out what the other brother and sister believe. You know, sometimes, you know, they don't read the Bible. They love to read some kind of spiritual books, spiritual material. and then they say something is deviate from their teaching of the Bible. They say something strange. I'm not encouraging you read other books. Just read the Bible. Something you don't understand, you pray to God. Hold on to 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 to 27. If you hold on to what you have heard at the very beginning, then you live in the Son, and you live in the Heavenly Father. Then you have eternal life. Once you have eternal life, hold on to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Remain in Jesus. You don't need anyone to teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. You see, God, the Holy Spirit, you promised that you would teach me. Now this area of my scripture I don't understand. What should I do? Then you pray to God. You know what? You pray to God and you keep reading it. One of these days, God will speak to you. This is what I mean. That's how I found the truth. I don't understand something. I ask him, why are you saying what you say? Why you put these Bible verses in this portion of the in this portion of the text? Why? What's the main reason? Can you tell me? So that I can have an insight? You ask God to give you hidden manner. Give you insight. Give you spirit of wisdom and revelation. You understand? And he will answer your prayer. Because what you pray is in conformity with what Jesus has prayed for you. Okay? So, yeah. Make sure you spend more time, especially in summer. You still have to go to school now, or summer's beginning now?
Still school for another month.
You still go to school for another month. Oh,
until the 29th. And then exams on class.
Yeah. So in the summertime, you know what? I'll show you how to do it. In summertime, go back to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and go back to the book of Ephesians, that's what I taught, and read that again. And God will give you insight. Because the book of Ephesians is what Paul, the senior pastor, taught the same in the church of Ephesians, Ephesus. And then 1 and 2 Timothy is Paul writing a letter to the pastor of Ephesus. Okay? Then you get a little bit insight. How come the pastor don't want to be pastor anymore? Because it's very, very difficult to be pastor. Okay? So, chapter 5. Just, Etta, could you read that? First Timothy chapter 5. Where you get this Bible? You bought it?
No, my friend gave it to me.
Your friend gave it to you, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a good Bible. NIV, same as mine.
Same, but the page, I see different.
Yeah, it's different.
So I try to follow you, it's very hard.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, but the this is NIV, and this is simplified Chinese, but mine is...
Traditional
Chinese, yeah. Okay, it's okay. No problem. You know what? I show you my friend Charles. Don't read the number page. Try to take a look at the index. In the index, there's 66 books.
Mm-hmm.
Try to understand the name of the Old Testament, the name of the New Testament. In here, talk about 1 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy, you know, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy,
uh-huh.
You know, then this is in New Testament. Then you know, you go to the back, right? This is New Testament.
Oh, okay.
But if Genesis is Old Testament at the very beginning, You know?
Okay.
That's Old Testament, that's New Testament.
Oh.
Try to familiarize yourself with the name. Uh-huh. That would help you a long way. Okay, go. Chapter 5. Enter.
Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead, even while she lives. Give the people these instructions, too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves, because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain," and "the worker deserves his wages." Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning. I charge you, in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels, to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden.
So there's two in chapter 6. In chapter 5, there's two groups of people. That Paul talked about. The first group is the family members. The second group is the church leader. The family members is 1 to 16. The church leader, like elders, are 17 towards 25. One is family member. The other is church member. Okay? Now take a look at family members. How do we deal with the elderly, older man? Older man is not elders, okay? Elder is a title of spiritual leader. If an older man is not necessary, it's an elders, okay? So, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. How do you deal with your father? Your father is older than you, then you deal the same with other church members, the older man. You understand? Secondly, treat younger men as brother. If he's younger than you, Paul asked Timothy to treat the younger man as brother, as younger brother. And then you know how to treat him. Okay, verse 2. You treat older women as mothers, older men as father. Your older woman as mother. Then you know how to treat your mother. Hey, some people yell at the mother, that's no good. You know what I mean? And then treat younger woman. Timothy is a young man, right? How do I know? Because in verse 11, verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. So, Timothy is a young man. So how do a young man treat a younger woman? Okay? Paul saying that, treat younger woman as sister. And then, comma, with absolute purity. Absolute purity. Do you understand what I mean by absolute purity? Don't have any, what you call, sexual things with this young lady. I want to go back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3 all the way to 8. Chapter 4, verse 3 to 8. Etta?
It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality.
So avoid sexual immorality is what Paul is saying. Treat younger women as sister with absolute purity. With absolute purity means you should avoid sexual immorality. Verse 4.
That each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit.
Do you remember the IMF chief, ex-chief now? He tried to have, he did not avoid sexual immorality with the housekeeper. It's a younger woman. He's half, I believe, half of his age. He's 60-something, and the woman is only 30-something. He did not avoid sexual immorality, and that's exactly what God say in verse 6. The Lord will punish the IMF chief, the ex-chief, for all such sins. As we have already told you and warned you. You know what? It cost him $200,000 to hire the security man to watch over him to get out of prison. He used to make over $400,000 tax-free per year, but now he has to spend $200,000 per month to live in an apartment instead of living in prison. So that he wait for the court day. Because he was indicted to go through grand jury. Okay? He lose his job, he lose his fame, he lose his power, he lose everything. And God let it happen and make it known to the whole world. These Bible words, he mean what he say. Treat younger woman with absolute purity. You understand? Yep. If you reject it, you do not reject man. but God, who gives you His Holy Spirit. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Train yourself to be godly. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God. Now go back. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2. Treat older women as mother, younger women as sister, with absolute purity. Verse 3. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. Who are really in need. He defined what kind of widow we should give proper recognition. Verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, this kind of widow, this kind of family member, these should learn first of all to put their religions into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. If you are a widow and you have children or you have grandchildren, let your children and grandchildren to learn to look after you. Because this will please God if you, as children, as grandchildren of that widow, and you put your religion into practice by caring for their own family member and for repaying their parents and grandparents. What do you mean by repaying, Joyce? Your parent paying you so much. Now, let's say if your daddy passed away, and you should look after mother. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
By repaying her.
Yeah.
Because she did you a lot of good. You understand?
Yeah.
Learn this, because by doing so, this is pleasing to God. Okay? Now go back, verse 5. Verse 5, go back to verse 3. Go back to the widow that deserve proper recognition, okay? The widow who are really in need and left all alone, put her hope in God and continue night and day to pray and to ask God for help. This kind of widow, they devote themselves in prayer, rely upon God, not just one day, but continuously, night and day, to pray and to ask God for help. This kind of widow who are really in need, who left all alone, and they put their hope in God and God alone. This kind of widow, we should look after them if they have no children, no grandchildren. You understand? So we Christian, we look around. Watch over the widow. When they were young, they are faithful in serving God. Now they become old, nobody look after them. You know who look after them? The church looking after them. You understand? The church looking after them. But in those days, they don't have a welfare. In those days, they don't have a government senior home and stuff like that. It is the church's responsibility to look after them. You understand? If now, if they are Canadian, if they are immigrant, and if the senior home looking after them, then it's okay. If they have no one to look after them, the church members should look after them. Especially when they were young, they attend our church, we look after them. That is what Paul teach the young Timothy, how he managed the church regarding finance, using the money to look after the widow. You understand? Okay. So it pay off. If you are young and you serve God, and when you are old, you're nobody looking after you, wow, I tell you, the church will look after you. Wow, when you become lazy and busybody, gossiping, oh man, nobody look after you. Don't do that. Verse 6. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. They don't, this kind of widow don't give proper recognition to this kind of widow, young widow. Lives for pleasure. Okay? Don't even devote their time, day and night, to prayer, to ask God for help. Verse 7. Give the people this instruction. Let everybody understand that it is the church's responsibility to look after good widow. What do you mean by good? Who are really in need and has no relatives whatsoever. And they are faithful in serving God. And they pray to God night and day and ask God for help. No one to turn to. Turn to the church. Church is the body of Christ. Give the people this instruction. Let every people, the congregation, entire congregation understand that too. So that no one may be open to blame. If the church do not look after their own widow, the church will be blamed. Paul saying that no one may be open to blame. So that make sure we look after the widow. Verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, like your mother, your grandma, who is a widow, you don't look after them, he has denied the faith. He has denied the faith. That means he doesn't believe in God. If he doesn't believe in God, he go to hell. You don't look after your immediate family, that means you have denied your faith. You tell everybody you don't believe in Jesus. Do you remember in when Jesus was on the cross? What did he say to John? He is your mother. And he is your son, right? He said to Mary. He looked after his mother even while he was on the cross. You understand? In the Gospel of John, I think it's 19. So Jesus didn't deny his faith. He asked John to look after his mother. 19:26. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved, that's John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." Saying John had become the son of Mary. And to the disciple, like John, okay, that's John, "Here is your mother," asking John to look after his own mother, Mary. His own mother, that means Jesus' mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. You understand? Because this mother become what? Widow. Right? Am I right? So, if you refuse to look after your immediate family, you have denied your faith. And you are worse than an unbeliever. Worse than unbeliever. Where does unbeliever go? Go to hell. I don't know, worse than him. I don't know where else you're going to go. You go to the bottom, you know, the lower level, okay? Don't do that. Okay? Verse 9. No widow may be put on the list of widow unless she's over 60. What's the first qualification to be put on the list? They have no children and no grandchildren. Secondly, day and night, they continue to pray to God and ask God for help. They live a godly life, they are not busybody. They don't live for pleasure, okay? And thirdly, she's over 60. Okay? And has been faithful to her husband. Hey, if she has committed adultery when she was young, she's off the list. She has to live absolute purity. Then the church will look after. Okay? Verse 10. And is well known for her good deeds. Everybody know about that. She does a lot of good to the church and to brother and sister. Such as bringing up children, the children are good, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, serving others, and helping those in trouble, spend money on those who are in trouble. Now, when she is in trouble herself, the church spend money on her. And when she devotes herself to all kinds of good deeds, when she is in need, the church devotes herself to this widow. These are the qualifications to look after a widow. Verse 11, as for young widow, do not put them on such a list. Young widow is younger than 60 years old. Why? Because you want to get married. Let her get married. It's okay to get married. It's not sins to get married. Actually, it's better off to get married for younger woman. Okay? Verse 11, for when their sensual desire overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. You know, they're fighting. When she was young, she wanted to get married. It's okay to go back to get married. Verse 12, thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. You know what, in the church wedding, you know, they have wedding pledge. Oh, in what? In health and in sickness, right? I will never depart from you. I will love you forever. And some people even say, just try to impress the other party. Oh, if you die, I won't be married. Don't say such thing. Don't make that kind of pledge. You may not be able to keep it. Just like when Joyce was young, she didn't know she said, Daddy,
that's because
you are so good. I don't want to get married.
That's because you made it sound like getting married is such a bad thing.
Hey?
It was a sin to get married. You put so much pressure on that.
At that time?
Yes.
Oh, so
like
you...
Like, every time we talk about it, it was the worst sin you could ever possibly commit against you. So, of course,
now you think marriage is such a good thing, right?
No, I just don't think that it's worth it.
Oh, it's not worth it. But,
yes, because then I'll suffer public humiliation with you again.
Okay.
It's just not worth my time.
Okay. So now she said, if God's will, I will marry, you know? You know what I mean?
Smart girl.
Smart girl, eh? If God's will, if God provide, a godly man, right? So it's okay. It's not wrong to get married, but it's wrong to get pregnant before you get married. You know what I mean? You get that? Treat younger woman with what? Absolute purity, right? And don't make any wedding pledge. Say, oh, I love you forever. Don't ever say forever. I love you up to what? This marriage end by death, right? When he's dead, no more love. The marriage pledge was broken, right? Don't just try to say something that the other party love to hear. Oh, I love you forever, you know? Now, come on, don't lie to me. You know? You know what I mean? I was deceived so many times already, you know? Both by my family members and by church members, or you know what I mean? Right? Have you ever been deceived, Sally?
Yeah.
By who? By Daniel?
My sister.
Oh! Now you're getting older now, you know. Now you learn a few things, you know. That's lie, right? Hey, what did you say? You have never deceived people.
Yeah.
You deceive your mother till you say to your mother that you finished the assignment, but in fact you didn't do any assignment. You remember that? Okay. Oh man. Okay, let's go back to the Bible. Okay. Now, chapter 5, verse 11. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. Why? For a younger widow, they're supposed to get married. Okay? For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication for Christ, they want to marry. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Don't ever say in the wedding vow, say, I remain faithful to you even after you pass away. Don't say that. You just say, I love you. And until either one pass away, right? Don't make any vow that you can't even keep it. Don't just say it lightly. Say it seriously. Mean what you say. Otherwise, those who hear will have a broken heart. You know what I mean? So actually now Joyce blame on the daddy, say that I make it. No, as far as I recall, I didn't even make it. I'm just asking. Joyce, are you gonna get married? At that time you were that very young. At that time you don't even know what
yes,
marriage means. Say, no daddy, I won't get married.
You know, before you talk
I love
about this,
you.
You
know what I mean?
It goes both
hey,
ways.
Did your daddy ever ask you this kind of question when you were young?
Yeah.
And what did you say? You deceive him also?
Yeah, I say no. No, I'll never get married.
You never get married.
So gross.
So gross, yeah. Now, if the Lord's willing, right?
I didn't say that.
I didn't say that. What did you say that?
I don't know.
You don't know. Oh, wow. What can I say? Okay, I'm learning. Verse 13. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossip and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So that's why, because they do such kind of bad things, gossiping, busybody, become idler and doing nothing, going from house to house, spreading gospel throughout the Christian family. Instead of destroying this, you know, instead of doing that, Paul saying, verse 14, so I counsel younger widow to marry, to have children. When they have children, they will be busy. No time to visit from house to house. No time for gossiping, you know. Cooking 3 meals a day is busy enough. Make sure you people don't have a lot of kids too. It's a lot of hard working, you know. You think it's easy to look after 3 kids? Better? But it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. So, besides, Jesus Christ will come back soon, you know. So, enough is enough. I just cannot imagine, you know, when I was young, in my father's family, that we have a 7 boys, 1 girl. Wow, a big crowd, you know. It's a lot of work, really. It's not enough food, too, you know. Now, there's a lot of food, right, in the refrigerator. Some are rotten, too, because so much that we forget to eat. But when you have 7 boys, 1 girl, and husband and wife, total 10 people, wow, you consume like stuff like what? Locusts, you know? In no time, you know? Whatever your parents purchase it and bring it home, it's gone. Okay? So I counsel younger widow to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Satan will slander the widow, say, look at that widow, busybody, idler, gossiping, stuff like that, right? Giving Satan, the enemy, an opportunity for slander. But if the younger widow to marry, to have children, and to manage their home, then stop the enemy from slandering us. Verse 15. Some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. Why? Because they don't get married, and their sensual desire overcome their dedication to Christ. They end up later on turn away from their faith to follow Satan. You understand? It's very dangerous. How do they? Some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. How do they turn away Satan? They don't get married, but they commit adultery outside marriage, because their sensual desire overcome their dedication to Christ. You may as well get married. Okay? Verse 16. If any woman who is a believer has a widow in her family, she should help them, help the widows, and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. So now, finish talking about the Christian family, okay? Especially widow. Now talk about elders, verse 17 to 25. The elders of the church. How do we treat the elders? The elders who direct the affair of the church well are worthy of double honor. There are two kinds of elders. The first kind of elder is the administrative elder. The administrative elder who direct the affair of the church well are worthy of double honor. Especially those who work is preaching and teaching. Another elder is not administrative elder, is the preaching and teaching elder. Preaching and teaching elder deserve more honor than administrative elder. Okay? If we give, go back, verse 3, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. Who are they? They continuously, night and day, to pray and ask God for help. They manage their family well, bring up children, godly children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saint, helping those in trouble, devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. And 60 and over. And they're well known in their good deeds. This kind of senior or widow give proper recognition. Proper recognition, that means give them honor. Give her honor. You understand? But where is? So, verse 1 to verse 16 means give honor to widow, especially who are in need, 60 and over. And they're good. They keep praying and ask God for help. This kind of widow, you don't despise them. You honor them. And then another type of people, elderly, not necessary in age. Well, if you're elder in the church, supposed to be old too, okay? The elders who direct the affair of the church well are worthy of double honor. If you honor the widow who are in need, you should give double honor to the elder, the administrative elder. And then you give triple honor to those who devoted themselves not in administration, but in preaching and teaching. You understand what I'm trying to say? I read that 17 again. The elders who direct the affair of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who works is preaching and teaching. So, two type of elder, one is preaching and teaching, the other is administrative. The preaching and teaching get more honor than administrative. Okay? Why you need administrative elders? Like Ki Lam, right? You know Ki Lam? Who is he? Who is Ki Lam?
Moses' dad.
He's more or less like administrative elders in this church, helping me to looking after the administrative staff, the stuff, right? So he deserved to have double honor. Verse 18. For the scripture said, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain. When the laborer are working, you do not muzzle the ox while the ox is treading out the grain, working for you. And the worker deserves his wages. Make sure you pay the elders. But in our church, we don't pay key, because he don't need us to pay him. But when he become widowers, become older, so we look after him. You understand? Verse 19. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. If someone accuses certain elder, you do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Some people give you false accusation. You don't entertain that. Because this kind of elder, sometimes when they preach the word of God, they don't like to hear, then he say to the senior pastor, oh, that elder is no good. But that elder, in fact, is good. You understand? You don't entertain that kind of accusation against the elder. Unless two or three witnesses saying that I saw him commit adultery. If one people say that, you don't believe in it. If two or three people, then you have to believe. Check it out, find it out. Verse 20. Those who sins, those elders, okay? Those elders whose sins are to be rebuilt publicly. You rebuild those elders who sins against God. Let's say commit adultery, you rebuild him properly so that the others may take warning. The other elders may take warning, and the other congregation, the other member of God's family will take warning. They will scare. Verse 21. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels. Now, Paul saying that, Paul could have said, I charge you to keep this instruction without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. He could have said like that. But then instead he say, I charge you in the sight of God, in the sight of Christ Jesus, in the sight of the elect angel. In other words, this is a very serious matter. What he teach in chapter 5, how to deal with widow, three kind of people, okay? I say it again. Two group of people. One is the family member. The other is God's member. God's family member, right? One is earthly family, right? Okay. Now, I divide it in chapter 5 into three group of people. The first group, the widow, 60 plus, right? Another group is younger widow. Right? They are less than 60. How we deal with it? Right? And if the widow has no children and no grandchildren, we know how to look after. Let the church look after, right? If they have children, let the children look after, right? Another group, what we talk about? Elders. The first group, we give recognition to what? To the 60 plus widow that who are indeed who are in need and who are godly. But the other one, are not 60 plus, the younger widow, do not put them in the list. Don't give her recognition. Don't give her honor. Okay? Now, another group of people we give honor is the elder. What kind of elder? Administrative elders. Pay them. Pay them wages because they serve in the church. The worker deserves his wages. Pay them. If someone accuses them, don't take it unless you get two or more witnesses. Okay? When you find out that they sin against God, then you got to rebuke him publicly so that the other may take warning. And rebuke the elder in front of the public, in front of everyone, he may fire you because he has so much power. So that's why in verse 21, I charge you in the sight of God, I charge you in the sight of Jesus Christ, I charge you in the sight of the elect angel, the holy angel. So what he's trying to say is, if you dare not say it, you got to say it. You have no choice. Because when I charge you in the sight of God, that means God asks you to do it. That means Jesus Christ asks you to do it. That means the elect angel asks you to do it. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because Paul knows that if he rebuke the elders, sometimes he's scared. He's scared of being fired too. You understand? A lot of elders, they may not be godly. You rebuke him properly, he's going to fire you. That's why Joshua left the church. Not Joshua. That's why Timothy left the church. You understand? That's why Paul write the first and second Timothy to him, encouraged to go back to the church and do the job. I charge you in the sight of God and Jesus Christ and in the sight of the elect angel to keep this instruction. Keep the instruction, that means do what I say. Give honor to the widow, double honor to the administrative elder, triple honor to the preaching elders and teaching elder. You understand? So, I charge you to keep this instruction without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. Sometimes, oh, he's my friend. I don't do that. He committed sexual immorality. I assume that I don't see it. Then you show favoritism. You show partiality. You understand? So don't show partiality, okay? Without partiality. That's what Paul say. I charge you to do that in the sight of God. That means God charge you. That means Christ Jesus charge you. That means the holy angel charge you. Okay? Verse 22. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. Test that elder first. If people want to elect him to be elder, you test him. In the area of purity, in the area of godliness, to see whether he's worthy of that kind of double honor. When you lay hand on him, you remember that what happened? Remember when Paul lay hand on Timothy? And then God gave Timothy what? Spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. When Moses lay hand on Joshua, God gave Joshua spirit of wisdom. Don't lay hand so easily on anyone. Okay? He got to be tested first, whether he's worthy of that kind of honor. Okay? So verse 22, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands and do not share in the sins of others. When you lay hands so easily on someone without testing, then you share in the sins of others. And Paul saying to Timothy, keep yourself pure in this aspect. Because if you lay hand on a wicked person and he become an elder, the church will suffer. And then verse 23, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. And Timothy is physically very weak, so that's why Paul asked him to drink a little bit wine, because at that time the water is not good. Verse 24, the sins, go back, 24 is related to 22. The sins of some men, some men means some elders, okay, are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them, and the sins of others trail behind them. Now, what does it mean, 24? Time will tell. Whether that person is trustworthy or not, time will tell. Because the sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them, and the sins of others trail behind them. Eventually, you see them all. Some are easy to be seen, some are harder to be seen. But time will tell. Eventually, they will reveal whether they are wicked or good. So that's why time takes time to test a person. Okay? Verse 25. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. Cannot be hidden are obvious. All these words saying time will tell. Don't lay hand on someone so hasty, okay? Take it easy. Test him. Because eventually, you understand who he is. Okay? What I'm trying to say is Paul teaching this young pastor how to be a good pastor. Because if you lay hand on someone in front of everyone, affirm that he's the elder, and you find out that he's not an elder, he's not a good elder, the church gets damaged. Okay? So this book is good, eh? Because the reason why Timothy walk away, because he has no experience, he don't know how to handle this kind of difficult situation. He didn't know that he can rebuke the elders. He's a deacon. Paul saying that if the elder sins against God, you find that out it's true. And then Paul saying that, I charge you in the sight of God and in the sight of Christ Jesus, in the sight of the elect angel, their sins, those whose sins are to be rebuked publicly. You rebuke those elders who sins against God publicly, so that other elders may take warnings. They scare. Asking the deacon to rebuke the elders, because the elders sins against God. Same as that IBM, IMF chief. He lost everything now. He said. So keep yourself purity is very important. Even though you study very well, you get good education, you sins against God in this area, in sexual impurity, in morality, what happened? You lost everything. Right? Shall we pray? Oh, they turned off already. I don't hear that.
Is it our batteries?
Run out of room?
No. Anyway. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us in help us to remember how to give recognition to widow, to administrative elders, to preaching elders. And help us to live a godly life. Keep ourselves pure. And times will tell whether we are good or bad. Because the sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those good deeds that are not obvious cannot be hidden. And I pray that you give us patience to test the person whether he is worthy to receive double honor, to be administrative elder. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom to do the right thing, how to treat older people, not harshly, but exhort him as if he were our fathers, earthly father. Treat younger men as brothers, treat older women as mother, and younger women as sister, with absolute purity. Lord, I pray that you help us, give us understanding how to give recognition to various kind of people. And how do we give public rebuke to different kind of people too. So that we know how to do the right thing to keep your church pure. And remain, I pray that you continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of power, Spirit of love, Spirit of self-discipline, so that we know how to manage our own household and manage God's household in absolute purity in your sight. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. So take care, my friend.